Okay, so November 22nd. You know what comes to mind, right?
Big day in history.
For sure. Most people probably think of the Kennedy assassination,
Yeah.
a moment that's really, stayed with us.
Definitely.
But on that same day, same year, 1963, C.S. Lewis also died.
Huh.
Kind of gets
It's
lost, right?
yeah, big event overshadowing another.
It makes you think about, how sometimes really important people and their ideas can get kind of overlooked when other big things are happening.
Absolutely. It's like how context really shapes our understanding of things.
Yeah. And it takes time sometimes for a person's legacy to really be, fully appreciated.
For sure.
And that brings us to our topic for this deep dive, Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
A fascinating figure.
For sure, we're going to be looking at some lecture notes from a church history course
Okay.
to explore some of his key ideas.
Interesting.
He also died pretty young, tragically.
Yeah, his life was cut short.
But his theological thinking has had a huge impact, and it's still relevant today.
Definitely, these lecture notes are a great way to see how his ideas are being studied and discussed, even now.
Yeah, and they're pretty complex.
For sure.
So what we're going to try to do today is, go through these notes and pull out the most important things about Bonhoeffer's work
Okay. Just
so
yeah.
people can quickly grasp why he's still such a significant figure.
Makes sense.
Okay, so let's jump in.
Right.
One of Bonhoeffer's most well-known concepts is this idea of costly grace.
Yes, absolutely central to his theology.
So he really drew a line between what he called cheap grace and costly grace.
Right, sharp distinction.
Now, cheap grace, I mean, it kind of sounds nice, right?
On the surface, maybe.
It's like just accepting a doctrine,
Okay.
saying you believe in forgiveness without actually changing your behavior. Like just believing in God's love is enough to erase all the bad stuff you've done.
Yeah, that's kind of a dangerous way to think about it.
And Bonhoeffer saw some real problems with that.
Huge problems.
He thought it kind of ignored the seriousness of sin,
Exactly. He felt it minimized it.
Like no real remorse needed.
Right. Just accepting the idea of forgiveness, but not the implications.
Yeah, and he argued that this cheap grace actually misunderstands what God's word is really about.
Yeah. And what the incarnation means.
Right, so he even said it justifies sin, but not the sinner.
That's a powerful statement.
So that's a pretty stark contrast to what he called costly grace.
Right. Two very different things.
So what does costly grace look like in practice? How is it different?
Well, for Bonhoeffer, it's a grace that you have to seek out.
Okay.
It's not just handed to you.
You have to go work for it.
Not work for it exactly, but respond to it.
Okay.
It demands something from you.
A response.
Right. And that response is to follow Jesus.
Okay.
And following Jesus has real consequences.
How so?
It means changing your life.
So it's not just mental assent,
No, it requires action.
like a transformation.
Yeah. You leave behind the old way of life and embrace a new one.
So thinking about how you understand grace, do you think there are examples of what Bonhoeffer might call cheap grace in how faith is presented today?
It's a good question. Something to think about.
Like sometimes it feels like people focus on just the feel-good parts of faith.
Yeah, without the harder parts.
And for Bonhoeffer, this costly grace condemns sin,
Right? It doesn't shy away from the difficult stuff.
but it also offers justification to the sinner.
Right, both and.
Yeah. So it acknowledges human failing.
Yeah, our brokenness.
But ultimately, it's costly because it cost God the life of his son.
Exactly, that's the ultimate price.
And the lecture notes say, you were bought at a price, and what has cost God a lot cannot be cheap for us.
Right, that really puts it in perspective.
Yeah, it makes you rethink the whole idea of grace.
Makes it more precious.
And the notes also mention Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship.
Yeah, a classic.
Seems like essential reading for anyone who wants to dig deeper into this.
Absolutely. It explores what it really means to follow Christ.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Still within Bonhoeffer's main ideas,
Right.
let's talk about his understanding of the church.
His ecclesiology.
Right. And the notes say that the idea of the church as a community was super important to him.
Yes, he really emphasized that.
So it wasn't just a building or an abstract concept,
No, it was a living thing.
a community.
Right, a gathering of believers.
And this idea of community ties into his Christology.
His understanding of Christ.
Right. And the notes are really clear that Christ is at the center of his whole theological framework.
Everything revolves around Christ.
Yeah, he even wrote a book called Christ the Center.
Right. Can't get much clearer than that.
So for Bonhoeffer, Christ wasn't just a historical figure or a bunch of doctrines.
It was the core of reality.
Yeah, he believed that Christ is the unifying principle behind everything.
Whether the world recognizes it or not.
And the lecture notes tell this story about students at Gordon College talking about entering the real world after graduation.
I remember that.
And Bonhoeffer would actually flip that idea on its head.
Interesting, how so?
Well, he'd say that a community that truly centers its life around Christ is actually the most real world.
Okay.
Like a Christian college should be that true reality.
Richard.
So when people leave that kind of community and go out into a world that mostly ignores or denies Christ, they're actually entering a less real world.
Wow, that's a pretty radical perspective.
It challenges our usual ideas about what's really true and important.
Definitely.
Okay, now the notes mention that Bonhoeffer talked about three images of Christ in his theology.
Yes, different ways of seeing Christ's role.
What are those?
Well, first there's Christ as the suffering Christ.
Okay.
He believed that God, through Christ's suffering on the cross, understands and shares in human suffering.
So God isn't distant from our pain.
No, he's right there with us.
And the second image?
Christ as the mediator.
Okay.
So Christ is the bridge between people, between humanity and the world, and between humanity and God.
He brings everything together.
Right. He overcomes division and brings reconciliation.
And the third image is presented as a question, who is Christ for us today?
A very important question.
Yeah, it seems so relevant and like an ongoing question.
It is. It's not a question with a fixed answer.
So what's the point of framing it as a question?
It forces us to keep wrestling with the meaning of Christ in our own time.
Okay.
It's a challenge to figure out what following Christ really means in our specific circumstances.
So it keeps Christ alive and active in our lives.
Exactly. Not just a figure from the past.
Okay. Let's move on to another really interesting part of Bonhoeffer's thinking.
Right.
His views on religion and religionless Christianity.
Yeah, he had some strong opinions on that.
The notes say he was pretty critical of religion.
What was the basis of his critique?
Well, he used the term religion to describe human attempts to find God on our own terms.
Okay.
Through our own actions and rituals and systems.
Oh, I see.
He thought that approach was flawed because it put all the responsibility on us.
Like we could earn our way to God.
Yeah, or figure him out through our religious practices.
And that's where the idea of religionless Christianity comes in.
Exactly. It's a contrast to that human-centered view of religion.
How is it different?
Well, for Bonhoeffer, religionless Christianity emphasizes that God is the one who takes the initiative.
Yeah.
God finds us in Christ.
Not the other way around.
Right. It's through God's grace freely given in Jesus that we're found and reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
So our actions, our beliefs, our attempts to live good lives, those are all a response to God finding us.
They're not the way we find God.
Right. So for Bonhoeffer, the Bible isn't about our search for God. It's about God's search for us.
That's a big shift in perspective.
It is. Do you think it changes how you think about faith or spirituality?
Yeah, it's something to consider.
Okay, now let's talk about Bonhoeffer's view of the world.
Okay.
The notes say he believed the world was created by God and is inherently good.
Interesting.
That's different from some views that see the world as fundamentally flawed and something to escape from.
Yeah, like we should just try to get to heaven and leave this world behind.
But Bonhoeffer had a more positive view.
He saw the good in creation.
Yeah, he rejected the idea that this world is just a temporary evil place.
And he saw a purpose for humanity in this world.
Right, our purpose is to shape the world according to God's will.
To work with God in creation.
And the incarnation, God becoming human in Jesus, really emphasized this goodness of creation.
It showed how much God values the world.
Yeah, so how did Bonhoeffer think Christians should interact with this good world that God created?
Well, the notes mention prayer, suffering, and vocation.
Okay, let's break those down.
All right, so prayer for Bonhoeffer wasn't just a private thing.
It had a wider purpose.
Right. It was about acknowledging the world as God's creation and recognizing its need for redemption.
We pray for the world.
Yes, both for its creation and its redemption.
And suffering.
He believed that proclaiming the gospel authentically will inevitably lead to suffering.
It's going to cause some friction.
Yeah, it'll challenge the status quo, and that can lead to pushback.
So the church should be prepared to suffer.
Yes, a suffering church.
And then there's vocation.
Which was really important in his Lutheran background.
Right. So how do you think Bonhoeffer's view of vocation might change how we see our own work or daily activities?
Well, he believed that all callings, all honest work, are equally valuable to God.
There's no hierarchy.
No, it's all important.
So whether you're a doctor or a teacher or a janitor,
it's all God's work.
And we encounter the world and participate in God's ongoing work through our vocations.
whatever they may be.
That's pretty empowering.
It is. It gives meaning to everything we do.
Now, the notes also talk about Bonhoeffer's focus on caring for the outcasts.
The vulnerable, the marginalized.
Yeah, and this seems especially important considering what he did during the Nazi regime.
His actions spoke volumes.
He felt a deep responsibility to those on the margins.
And his experiences really shaped that conviction.
Like his time in New York.
Yeah, he saw racial injustice firsthand.
And that experience really impacted him.
It did.
So he believed the church had to stand with the marginalized.
To be a voice for the voiceless.
And that's what led him to oppose the Nazis so fiercely.
He saw the Jews as the ultimate outcasts in that time.
And he was willing to risk his life to protect them.
And he did.
So let's talk about Bonhoeffer's view of the church's relationship to government. Okay. The notes say that he believed both the church and the state have a divine mandate.
Right. Coming from his Lutheran tradition.
But he also knew that the state could overstep its bounds.
And abuse its power.
So what did he think the church should do in those situations?
He outlined three responses.
Okay.
First, the church has to remind the state of its limits.
Speak truth to power.
Exactly, even when it's dangerous.
Second, the church has to care for the victims of the state's overreach.
To help those who are being hurt by injustice.
Like the Jews in Nazi Germany.
Exactly, to offer them aid, comfort, and solidarity.
And the third response is a really powerful image.
Tell me about it.
It's about putting a spoke in the wheel.
I love that analogy.
He compared it to a car being driven by a madman, you know, speeding down the road, threatening people's lives.
And in that situation, you can't just stand by.
No, sometimes you have to take action.
Stop the car.
Exactly. And that's how Bonhoeffer justified resistance, even direct action against an unjust state.
Like his involvement in the plot against Hitler.
A really risky move.
It was, but he felt it was necessary.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Bonhoeffer, what are the main takeaways you'd want our listeners to remember?
Well, I think the most important things are the idea of costly grace.
That radical call to follow Christ.
Right, and then the absolute centrality of Christ in understanding reality.
He's the center of everything.
Yes, and then there's the idea of religionless Christianity, where God is the one who initiates our salvation.
Not us trying to reach God on our own terms.
Exactly. And finally, that we have a responsibility to engage with the world.
Through prayer, suffering, vocation, and standing up for the marginalized.
And resisting injustice.
Powerful stuff, and still so relevant today.
Definitely.
And on that note, remember Bonhoeffer's question, who is Christ for us today? We want to leave you with this thought. Think about those key concepts we talked about today.
Costly grace, Christ's centrality, God's initiative, and our responsibility to the world.
What do those things mean for you in your life right now?
That's the question.
How would you answer Bonhoeffer's question?